How you doing, everybody? This is the Dirt Bike Channel Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Brotherson. Today, we're going to be talking about 125, the KTM 125 XC. This is going to be my first impressions. I realized I hadn't done... I don't think I did a YouTube video on this. So I'll probably just upload this one to YouTube on the bike. So I just got back from a nice riding trip on that bike. I was riding the KTM 125 XC. In fact, I rode three different bikes. I rode the KTM 125 XC, the Kawasaki KX 250X, and I also got to ride my KTM 300 XEW. So in 3 days, I rode three different bikes, went back and forth a bunch, and I learned a bunch about the bikes. I've said this before on this podcast. I've said this before on my YouTube channel that, man, if you want to learn something about a bike, the best thing you can do is find a friend to go out. Like, if you've got a bike and your friend has a bike, they're two different bikes, especially if you have the ability to set them up the same, you can really learn a lot. Like, for instance, yesterday on the bike, I was riding down in St. George area, southern Utah, with one of my buddies, Garrett, and we got to ride back-to-back my 125 XC and the Kawasaki KX 250X. Both the bikes are set up for my riding weight, so it was probably a little bit too much sag for Garrett. He's a little bit heavier than I am. But I've got the same front tire on the bikes, the same rear tire on the bikes, tubeless on the bikes. I set them up exactly the same. Obviously, the suspension isn't the same, but that's kind of the point. And then you get to kind of just ride, and we spent all day just swapping back and forth. Ride one bike for a half hour, then swap. Ride the next bike for a half hour, and man, you can really learn a ton. So I'm going to try to keep it pretty light on the Kawasaki side of things on this podcast here for today. But we'll just focus on the KTM 125. So I went down there, like I said, to southern Utah. It's been like really disgusting weather up here in northern Utah. Well, I shouldn't say disgusting. It hasn't been disgusting. It's just been cold in January. The problem is we haven't had a lot of snow yet either, so it's kind of like we're having the worst of both worlds because it's cold, but we're not getting a ton of precipitation. One second here. Pardon me while I get a drink. And by the way, this is the Breakfast of Champions. This is the I'm just drinking a protein shake. I haven't had enough time. I woke up this morning and I was a little bit nauseous, and so I've been trying to just wait until my stomach decided it was okay to start eating. And I'm not a big breakfast guy, so I have these protein shakes quite a bit for the morning. So maybe some of you can relate. Anyway, KTM 125 XC. So at this point, it looks like I have 7.3 hours on the bike. So this is not a review. I don't do reviews on these bikes until I've ridden them for a long, long time. But I do think I need to come out with some initial impressions of the bike at almost seven and a half hours. So first thing I want to say is I feel really comfortable on the bike. It was funny because last night I got back, you know, from this riding trip, and I had some footage and some clips and things on my phone, and I was showing them to my wife and kids, and my boys were like, they didn't know, they couldn't tell it was the 125 because they're not keying in on the pipe. The bike looks the exact same as like a KTM 250 XC. And because of the size of it, because it's a full-size bike, the boys didn't even realize that it was the 125 until I told them, because they're not as adept at like listening to that. You can hear that it's a 125, like all the way you can hear it's a 125. And you can tell it's 125 by looking at the pipe. And if you're close enough, you can see it in the motor. But the entire rest of the bike is full size. So I feel really comfortable on the bike because it's a frame. It's kind of a platform. You know, they haven't changed the XC line much really since 2019. So 19, 20, 21, they've been pretty much the same. They've changed the valving a little bit. But I think the frame has pretty much stayed the same. And so I'm pretty comfortable on that bike. I'm pretty comfortable with the bars and the levers and everything and the setup that way. And so I do feel comfortable on that bike, and I really enjoy that. Although I can feel comfortable on a lot of different bikes. Like yesterday, I felt extremely comfortable on the Kawasaki. maybe even a little bit more comfortable because of the terrain that we were riding on the Kawasaki, because I think the Kawasaki was just kind of lends itself to the type of trail we were riding yesterday. But I am really comfortable on this 125 XC. And I'm actually just really, really excited because I know in a couple of years, I don't know exactly how many, I've got a 12-year-old that hasn't quite hit his growth spurt, and I've got a 10-year-old boy that he's a few years off. But within a few years, I'm going to have a son riding one of these 125s, and holy crap, that's going to be cool because, you know, it can do anything the big bikes can do. You've got to like use, you know, get into the power, you know, be get after it. But man, once my boys get onto these 125s, oh my gosh, it's going to be on. So, I love the fact that it's electric start. I get it that it's a 125 and they're easy to start. There's, you know, not a lot of, but I haven't even kickstarted the bike yet. I've ridden it for 7.3 hours. Some of that was Garrett yesterday, but the point, you get it. I've ridden it a little bit and I've never kickstarted it. I've always been electric starting it, which tells you just how fun, which tells you how important to me electric start is. I mean, obviously, if this bike didn't exist and they didn't put electric start on it, I still would eventually reviewed it. But when it was like a brand new bike for 2021 and they put the electric start on the 125, I was like, hey, no one's done that before. I don't think anyone's put electric start on a 125 two-stroke until right now with KTM in 2021. And I was just kind of excited about it. So do you need to have electric start on a bike like that? No, you don't need to. Because I wouldn't be taking this bike into like super gnarly stuff, and so it would be okay if I had to kickstart the bike, because I'm not maybe going to be hanging off the side of a cliff. But you never know. That's the thing with electric start. You never know. It just saves energy, conserves energy with the electric start, and the bike is still the lightest bike that I've put on my scales ever. I mean, the lightest full size bike that I've put on my scales ever with that electric start. So it is 220 pounds, but it feels really, really light. It feels even lighter than the 220 pounds would suggest when you're riding it, because it just feels, the front end feels light, the rear end feels light, the whole thing feels like you just took a bike and you shaved some of it off, like a regular bike, and then you just shaved like a significant portion of it off when you're riding it, and you're like, wow, I'm not even stuck to the ground anymore on this. So it's kind of a blessing and it's a curse. And it depends which way you're coming at this, which side of the coin you want to focus on. Because with the way that it feels so light and so agile, it's almost like you can bounce around and put the bike anywhere. And if you're used to that, then it's really fun. But it's also moving around a lot underneath you. It you know, the bike can kick around a lot more so than my other two strokes. And if you were coming over, like, and I'll get to this later in the podcast of like, oh, who would I recommend this bike for? If you were coming over and let's say you're coming from a KTM 350 or a KTM 450, this bike is going to feel like it's on ice skates to you. It's going to feel like it's like not held to the ground at all, and it's just moving all over, and it's skittish, and you may not like that. Although, on the flip side, if you're a two-stroke person and you like that kind of lighter feel and that more like less connected to the ground feel, and that's true. When you're riding a four-stroke, it feels like that extra weight, it gives this sensation that the bike is like more planted into the ground. This 125 XC is not planted into the ground. She's got shallow roots. Let me just say that. And but I love the nuances in all these bikes. Yesterday when we were swapping back between the two, I had a blast doing that. And I preferred actually the 250 because I was like, man, on this trail, I think the KX 250 is a little bit more fun for me. Garrett was exactly the opposite. He's like, oh, I have more fun on the 125. And so it just kind of depends on the trails that you're doing. But this really light feel, it's really fun. It's really fun to get on that thing and then just keep the front end light. And that's the cool thing too, when you're on a 125, it forces you to stay in the power. It forces you to stay kind of, quote, on the pipe, because you don't have really a lot of power unless you are on the pipe. And that's kind of the point of
of riding a 125 like this as a full grown man is you got to stay on the pipe. I'm going to get to that later about why I think that's cool. But you got to just be able to flow with the bike. It's going to move beneath you. And you've just got to embrace that and be okay with that. And then it's actually a lot of fun. And yesterday, like I was saying, when we were swapping back and forth between the bikes, the Kawasaki KX250X is not a heavy bike. It weighs 240 pounds. So it's 20 pounds heavier than the KTM. I believe it's, you can see this on my website. If you go to dirtbikechannel.com, I've got the weights of the bikes. It's like under bike info or something where I've got all the pictures of these bikes, the weights. And I believe, I should pull it up over here. I believe that the Kawasaki is exactly 20 pounds heavier. The funny part though is, and you can feel those 20 pounds, but I feel like you're really just feeling the stability of it. Yeah. So the KX250X was 240.5 pounds. The 125XC is 220 flat. So it's 20, maybe 20 and a half pounds heavier, the Kawasaki. And you could feel that. You could certainly feel that on the bike yesterday. Good and bad about those things, right? So I think we covered that. So carburetors on the bike. The bike comes, the 2021 KTM 125 XC comes with a McCuney carburetor. Kian wouldn't guarantee the numbers, wouldn't guarantee the amount of carburetors that KTM wanted past 2017. And so KTM went all in with McCuney. They won that bid, and they've been putting McCuney carburetors on 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 bikes. And I believe it's a 36 millimeter McCuney. I could be wrong. Maybe it's the 38. I've put the point of this part section of the podcast is I've had three different carburetors on the bike already in 7.5 hours because I've been trying to learn some things about 125s and about how to jet them and what it takes to get them running right. And what I'm finding, and a lot of you will probably already know this, is the smaller bore two strokes seem to be a little bit more finicky to me than the bigger bore two stroke. So if I'm talking about a big bore two stroke, it'd be a 250 or a 300 two stroke. Those, I have, you know, played with carburetors on those things for a long, long time since 2012. So we're talking, you know, 8-9 years. I've been playing with those carburetors, and it seems like the band of, you know, where I'm happy with the bike, it just seems like it's a wider band. When I go down to the littler bikes, it's a narrower band. So on my kids like 50s and their 65s, it seems like the band is narrow and I ride the bike a little bit, but I don't get to ride it a lot because they're not big enough for me. And so I kind of get them into a spot that I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. It's running pretty good. And I just let them ride it. On my son's 85, it's big enough where I can ride it more. And so I spent more time tuning that one and I was kind of playing around with that quite a bit. And then this 125, I've spent a bunch of time playing with it and I'm still not 100% happy with it. Now I have been changing elevation because I was riding it here, you know, at my house, maybe 5,000 feet. We were down, you know, St. George, Southern Utah area, and we're riding at a lower elevation. And so I've been kind of bouncing around a little bit on that, but I've been bouncing around on carburetor settings. So I tried a couple different settings that I thought would get me close on the McCuney, and it ran fine, but I couldn't kind of clear it up. I had maybe a little bit of an issue where I was going downhill and the bike was kind of wanting to die out. So I could have like a float problem there. Then I moved over to a Electron carburetor, which I had sitting on my shelf. So I contacted Electron and I got the right metering rod because the Electron I had was a 38 millimeter. It's like their 38 high velocity carburetor. And I got the metering rod for that bike. And then I spent the most time that I've ever spent on Electron trying to make that thing run. I started with the metering rod at whatever they said. I've got a picture of it in my shop. I might have just erased it. I've got a picture of it on my phone. Anyway, point is, I started at their starting point for a 125. Anyway, the point is, I tried like 7 different metering rod, and so I'm going in there, and I got to the point where I'm not taking anything off the bike. I'm just reaching in there, finagling my hands in there up into a little spot where I could use the Allen key, take the top of the slide off the bike, or take the top of the slide off the carburetor, and then turn the metering rod, you know, a quarter turn or half turn, and I got it running a lot better. And then I got it into a spot where I'm like, this is pretty good. And I rode that for a few hours. And then most recently, I'm like, you know what? I want to order the Smart Carb, the SC2 Smart Carb, sold by Technology Elevated. Those guys, they always try to give me discounts and I don't do it. I'm like, I'm paying full price. So I just go on their website. I buy the thing at full price because that's what I'm doing with Electron. I don't sell Electron anymore. I sold Electron for a year or two, but I don't sell any of these carburetors anymore. It feels better to me. I don't want to be tied to these different companies because I want to be able to be objective. And I will do probably another video on like later this year on like just carburetor comparisons, because this bike I will have run three different carburetors on it. So we can talk about that a little bit later. I will tell you that of the three carburetors, the one that is running the best for me and that I'm the most happy with on this bike is the Smart Carb, the SC2 Smart Carb. I'm liking it a lot better. Now, it's an expensive carburetor. It's a $700 carburetor. The Electron is a $500 carburetor. But right now, as of this time, because of the fact that, you know, I've been playing around with the mix on the Smart Carb, but it doesn't take me 10 minutes going back into my shop and it doesn't take me 15 minutes to change it. It's just I go there, put the, you know, kill the bike, turn the throttle wide open, reach down there, do a couple clicks, turn it back, and, you know, and it's fast. So far, the Smart Carb is the one that's working the best, and it's been the easiest to play with and the easiest to tune by far. And so that's been really nice to see. The bike, you know, overall, the bike has plenty of power, you know, we talked about that before, but you've got to stay in the power. There is not much down low. So like the first day of my little riding trip that I went on, I didn't do anything technical. I was just out there trying to get a little bit of drone footage. It was a little bit too windy and the drone wasn't flying all that great, but I did get some footage and I was just kind of whipping out through the desert. I didn't know the trails that well. And, you know, there was some whoops and some G outs and some stuff. And the bike was just like, you know, going through. It was doing fine and actually doing really, 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 really impressive how, you know, easy it is to loft the front wheel and go through whoops and, you know, and get through G outs and things like that. And then on the third day of the trip, when I rode the bike again, we were riding in some stuff that I wouldn't say technical, but it was like slower riding, you know, because you're going up and down. And you have these like short run-ups to these little obstacles that have like, you know, kind of step-ups at the top and everything. And you don't have a lot of run-up to that, a lot of that stuff. And that was where I didn't like the bike as much, where you don't have time to get ahead of steam on something. I mean, it's just you. If you rode up more, you'd get more used to it. But I was coming from, you know, the day before on day two of my riding trip, we rode all day long on, you know, just nasty, gnarly, you know, stuff on the KTM 300s. And I got kind of used to that bike and being able to just go, you know, on that day. It's rare that I ride a bike, the same bike for two different riding days in a row. And this was no exception. I was on a 3-day little trip. I rode three different bikes for 3 days. But day two was all day getting used to the KTM 300 power. And then the next day I go straight on to the 125 and man, there's a lot less power there. So much less. It's like half the power, if not 40% of the power. And so, yeah, there's a ton of power. There's plenty of power there as long as you're on the pipe. But, you know, when you don't have any run up to an obstacle, there's almost no power there. And you're like, now you're feathering the clutch in the on the hill, on the way up a hill. And you just, it's something you have to get used to. And I know that as I do this more with my boys are mostly, once they get onto a 125 in a couple of years, it'll be the thing that they're riding all the time and they'll get better and better and better at it. And so will I. But when you're swapping like from bike to bike to bike, you know, it highlights the nuances. And sometimes, you know, I don't have enough time to practice and be like, get totally adept with that. So not a ton of power down low. I don't think that's going to be, you know, a revelation to anybody, but there is a ton of power there and you can get up just about anything. It's funny because yesterday on the ride, there was this one hill climb where you don't have a lot of run up and, you know, Garrett and I were there. Let's see, which bike did I take? I took the 125 up this hill and it's kind of like rocky and nasty up at the top. And I just went rip, and I just went right up on the 125. It got a little, you know, touch and go at the top, but I got right up this thing. There's a couple, like a multi-step up thing at the top of this hill. Garrett goes to do it on the 250 Kawasaki KX250X, the four stroke, and it takes him like five times to get up. And that bike has more power. The Kawasaki 250 four stroke has significantly more power than this KTM 125. But he's not as used to riding a four stroke, and so it took him five times to get up the hill. Immediately when he gets up the hill, at the top of the hill, he's like, "Hey, can I take your 125 down and do it?" And I'm like, "Sure, go for it." And so Garrett takes it down, and Garrett rides a 300 TPI, KTM 300 TPI bike. That's his main bike. And so then he takes the 125 right down the hill, gets down at the bottom, gets turned around, because you have to kind of do a pivot turn to turn around, and then go straight up the hill. And on the 125, he zips, wham, just right up the hill. No problems, gets up like it was nothing. I'm just like, isn't this funny? Because you got on a bike that has less power, but because you're more used to the way the power comes on a two-stroke, you were able to just rock it up that hill, even though you had less power. So the reason why I bring this up is because it's not... Usually, if you can't get up something, it's not usually the bike, it's usually you. Now, there are certain situations where a 125 is going to make it really difficult to get up maybe some certain hill climb or some obstacle. But if you're a good enough rider, you can do it on basically any bike within reason, right? And especially if you're talking about full-size bikes. And this bike is one of those things. It's very, very capable. It's much more capable than I will probably ever be able to ride. A lot of you guys might know Shane Watts. He's a kind of a legend in the off-road, in the off-road world and the GNCC world. He was a multi-time, like, six-day champion. And I've ridden with Shane a few times, and he has said that his favorite bike to ride is a 125 two-stroke, and the reason why is because he says it's the only bike that he ever felt like he could get close to maximizing the potential. Any of the other bikes, 254 strokes, 300, 252 strokes, all these other things, he's like, I've never been able to come close to matching its potential. And having ridden with him, it is so humbling to just see, and he's past his racing career and all this stuff, but he can still shred on a freaking dirt bike, and he can blow my doors off and just pull away from me easily on a TTR 230. You guys know what that is. And so here's a dude who can just, like, he's so smooth and he's so good. I've been to his riding schools. I've ridden with him, done trail rides several times. It's humbling. So humbling to ride with this guy. And he's saying a 125 two-stroke is the only bike that he was ever able to come close to maximizing its potential. I will never maximize the potential of this 125. Straight up. I do not have the skill. I do not have the time. I ride once a week, if that. This week I rode three times because I went on a riding trip. It was a thing, but I probably won't be able to ride at all next week. And the week before that, I rode one time for like 40 minutes. So the reason why I bring this up is because a 125 two-stroke, although a lot of people would say, oh, I need something power. I need more power. Well, I guess it depends. If you're going to do some really, really nasty, gnarly, like, stuff, it'll help you have more power. And I would agree, like, hey, if I'm going to go do some gnar, I'm going to say, hey, I need a 250 or a 300 two-stroke, because it's going to be way easier to do. But if we're just talking about ripping out through the desert, or tearing through the mountain single track or something like that, there is far more potential in a 125 than most of us will ever be able to tap into. And it's got plenty of power. But there's not a lot of power down low, and that puts a lot of people off, where they're just like, oh, I need more power. The thing is, I'm saying you want more power, you don't need more power, but I get it, and I'm with you. It's calling the kettle black to be like, oh, because my favorite bike is a 252 stroke. There's way more power there than I'll ever need, but there are certain times where that power comes in handy. You could say the same thing about a 454 stroke, but yesterday after riding, you know, that 250 Kawasaki KX250X, I'm just sitting there going, why would you ever want the 450 version of this? I guess if you're in deep sand or something like this, and everybody, you know, different strokes for different folks, but there's so much power on that 250 four stroke that I'm just like, dang. If you can't get it done with the power that you got on this bike, should you really be doing? Anyway, I digress. Plenty of power on that 125, and I had a ton of fun riding it. But I would get stuck. I got stuck on a couple obstacles at the top of them because I was used to the power of the 300 from the day before. But I mean, as far as just like ripping out through the desert, keeping the front wheel light, lofting over whoop, or like pounding through whoops and lofting over G outs and things like that, the bike was amazing. It was awesome. Brought a big smile to my face, and I had a ton of fun. So, and also the front end of this bike, it is an air fork. They have it valved differently because you run less pressure in this air fork. So I have the 2021 250 XC in my possession. I also have the 125 XC in my possession. They're both the air fork, but the fork on the 125 is valved softer than they have the valving on the 250, and they tell you to put less pressure in the 125. On the 250, their standard pressure says 139, which is what they've said in the past, although I know they made it softer than it was in 2020. On the 125 XC, the pressure that they want is 116 PSI. You guys that use the bars, I don't know, you'll have to do the conversion. So it's a different valving from the 125 to the 250 for sure. I've been putting the 116 PSI in the 125 fork, and it's been working great. I put 118 in the 250 fork. It did not work great. I had to put more pressure in it because in years past, I would go 120, you know, 118, 120 on the 250 and 300 XC forks because I didn't like how stiff it was if I put it all the way up to the, you know, the recommended 139. Anyway, so they've softened the valving on the air forks for 2021, and the 125 is a totally different valve, or totally different valving because they have you put less pressure in it. Here's a break for my protein shake. So let's talk about who I recommend this bike for. This bike is highly recommended for at least three groups. I put down some notes that kind of popped into my head. Who I think this bike could really, really benefit. First, the first riding group that popped into my head are teenagers who are moving up to a full-size bike. I can't wait for this. I can't wait for this for my boys. As a parent, we should probably never look ahead. You should just enjoy the stage that you're at. And I am doing that to the best of my ability. But when you're riding with your boys, as they get up on bikes, it becomes more and more fun each time they move up to the next level of bike. The closer they get to what I'm riding, the more fun it is for me as a father. I'm just going to say that. I've been doing it now for a lot of years, and it's rewarding. It's challenging. There's a lot of stuff. Some of you dads know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of work and effort that goes into this. And especially if you've got two or three kids that you're working through, it feels like you're a fleet manager half the time. But the closer that they get to the full-size bikes, the more fun it is becoming. And if you've got a teenager who's ready to move up to a full-size bike, because this 125 XC is the same size frame as these other big bikes, same front tire, same rear tire, it's legit. It's going to be, if you have, like, for instance, you've got the 125 XC and you had a 250 XC, basically all the parts are interchangeable. It's the same hubs. It's the same swing arm. It's the same fender on the front, same fender on the rear, same clutch lever, same brake lever, same brakes. It's just a smaller motor. It's a lot of fun. I would recommend this bike highly. Highly to teenagers who are moving up to a full-size bike. So much fun. They are going to love you because now you're giving them a bike with electric start, which they've never had before. I mean, maybe if they had like some TTR 110 or something, they had electric start. But if they've been riding the bikes that my boys have been riding, like KTM 65, YZ 65, KTM 85, whatever, KX 100, all these different things, YZ 85, whatever it is, they haven't had electric start. Now they're going to move up to this bike and it's going like, whoa. Now they've got electric start and it's going to be so cool. And they're going to be on a bike that is uber capable. They're going to be on a bike that a 65-year-old man can have a ton of fun with. They're going to be on a bike that a 30-year-old man can have a ton of fun with. And here they are as a 15, I don't know, maybe your kid's 14 and he can ride this. Maybe he's 16 and he can ride it. The way things are looking for my sons, they'll be 15, 16, knock on wood, before they're able to ride a bike like this. But it's going to be a ton of fun and it's going to be a blast. I highly recommend it to, if you got a teenager who's getting up there in size and weight, this will be a fun bike for them. Here's another rider group that I think will have a ton of fun on this bike. And it's newer riders wanting to refine their clutch wheels. So maybe you're an adult. Maybe you're an adult and you want to get into dirt bikes and you want to be able to ride. You want to just start off with an aggressive type machine. Doesn't mean you have to race, and you could totally race this, but you don't have to race this bike. Let's just say you've got more of an aggressive personality. You don't want to start out on like Honda, you know, 250 CRF 250X or one of these other, you know, bikes. You have an aggressive mindset and you want to, you know, start out on the right foot with refining your clutch skills and being able to get after it. Really get after it. This bike is going to be awesome for you. It could be your first bike. It could be your second bike. The point is, you're just setting yourself up with a really solid foundation for riding skills. This bike is going to treat you well, and you're going to absolutely love it. And I highly, highly recommend it for those newer riders. Third group, I recommend it for everyone else. Including seasoned veterans. Let's say you are looking for a change of pace. Let's say you've been riding a 450 four-stroke, or you've been riding a 300 two-stroke, or whatever, and you feel like the bike that you've been riding has kind of dulled the knife because you've been on a bike that allowed you to be lazy. You've been on a bike that you're just kind of sleepwalking through life. You're sleepwalking through your riding. And you want to sharpen your skills because you feel like your skills have dulled over time. Get this 125 XC and get after it. Because it can get after it, but it forces you to have to get after it, if that makes any sense. And so I feel like this is the type of bike that if you're a seasoned rider, yeah, you'll still be able to keep up with your friends, but it will force you. You'll be shifting a lot more. You'll finally learn, oh my gosh, I got to shift this bike. You're going to be like covering clutch and like, you know, it's just, I'm at a loss for words, but this is going to sharpen your skills. This is going to force you to not be lazy. It's going to make you get after it. It's going to make you get on the pipe. It's going to make you carry more momentum into thing. It's going to force you to ride more aggressively. And if that sounds interesting to you, then this 125 XC might be your next bike. Maybe it's a change of pace bike. Maybe you keep your current bike, your 450, your 350 four stroke, your 252 stroke, your 302 stroke. And then you have this change of pace bike, and it is a major change of pace. It will feel, if you're used to riding a 350 four stroke or whatever, this bike is going to feel like it's on ice skates and it's, you know, it's just skittish and it's like multi-personality, but it's chronic fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so for those three groups of people, teenagers moving up to a full-size bike, newer riders who want to refine their skills or just set themselves up on like an aggressive stance in their riding, this is going to be a great bike for you. Or you're ready to sharpen the knife a little bit. You feel like your skills might have dulled some. This is going to be a sharpening stone for you. 125 XC sharpening stone for your riding skills. Those are my first impressions of the bike and who might, you know, really want to ride this thing and might really want to get into this thing. So far, I've loved it so much. It's teaching me a lot already about bikes in general and what I like and what I don't like. I'm going to move this mic over here so that we can start to sync audio up on the other side. Having a lot of fun with this bike. It will be a sweepstakes bike later this year for maybe around April time. April to June timeframe is when we're going to do the sweepstakes for this bike and the Kawasaki. I don't know exactly what other bikes I'm going to have or bike I might have on that. Who knows? I might even throw a street bike into the sweepstakes. Haven't really fully decided yet. Anyway, I don't have sponsors for this podcast. Maybe I will in the future. But the best way, if you want to support Dirt Bike Channel, you want to support this podcast, the best way that you can do that is to use my links for Rocky Mountain ATV, MC, use my links for Motorsport, use my links for Amazon. You can find these links at dirtbikechannel.com. You go up in the upper right-hand corner or in the menu bar there, you will see links. You go there, you click on those links, and then you can shop like normal. You click on the links for Rocky Mountain ATV, who's an awesome company. You click on any of those links, and it puts a referral code, a cookie in your browser, unless you have browser tracking turned off, and then this won't work. But it puts that little tracker in the browser, and then anything you purchase after that day, you just go through and you buy like normal. And it gives me a referral bonus for sending you there. Same thing happens with Amazon. Same thing happens with Motorsport. Wherever you like to shop, please, please use those links because that really, really helps this. You could also donate on dirtbikechannel.com using PayPal or Patreon. And then you could participate in these Dirt Bike Channel sweepstakes when we've got them going on. So that's what I've got for you today. Hopefully everybody is happy and healthy and getting through this winter. Okay. That's it, guys. There's going to be a lot more on this bike later on. And leave a single track. Thanks, everyone.